broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
On Monday, the 13th of February, from Guadalupe Studios, we give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
We begin the day and the week giving glory to God here on Morning Glory, and we're glad that you're along for the ride. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope, will help us start with prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, in your word to us this week in Mass, we're looking at those Genesis stories and pondering especially now sin, original sin, and all the other sins. We do pray. We live in a world filled with the temptations, whether it's just the temptation of anger and divisiveness this today, or the impurity that we see on things like the Grammy Awards, or whatever it is, Lord, please help us. Keep us careful about what we watch, and keep us attentive to resisting the power of temptation. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. And Monsignor will share more on the stages of sin in his spiritual reflection in about 20 minutes. In the meantime, Gloria shares a reflection from Mother Angelica.
How are we going to grow in faith if you don't have darkness? How are you going to grow in trust if there is no crisis? If you had $1 million in front of you, would that make you trust? We're such funny people. We have a possession concept. We're a people who acquire things, but the things of the Spirit must be earned through struggle. Amen, Mother.
Yes, thank you, Gloria. Right. 2 minutes after the hour in the news this morning, mass evacuations are underway in an area about an hour north of Sacramento near the nation's tallest dam. Engineers fear the auxiliary spillway of the Oroville Dam could release floodwaters through Yuba, Butte, and Sutter counties. Heavy rain caused Oroville Lake to rise to critical levels, straining that spillway. Red Cross volunteer Vern England is helping at the shelter in Chico and urges evacuees to band together.
Talk to other people, because other people are in the same situation they are. A lot of people are afraid, frightened, don't know what's going on, and it just helps to be a neighbor.
Doug Carlson, information officer with the California Department of Water Resources, says it's a critical situation and rare.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime event, actually, the use of this emergency spillway. It's been designed into the dam 50 years ago. It's never been used, and we have been doing our best to keep it from being used.
Carlson says it looks hopeful that water levels will begin receding soon. Pro-lifers held weekend rallies across the country, marching outside Planned Parenthood clinics Saturday. They're demanding the federal government cut funding to the nation's largest provider of abortions. Monica Miller with Citizens for a Pro-Life Society helped organize the protest, and she marched in Detroit.
A lot of counter-protesters, those who support Planned Parenthood, also came out on the streets. So it was a very interesting mix, definitely, of those who support the sanctity of human life versus those who believe that it's okay to kill innocent unborn children.
There were more than 200 rallies in 45 states, Gloria.
You know, all those people that came out to support Planned Parenthood, give your money. Don't make us have to fund it. If they want to support them, let them take out their checkbooks and write a check. And the rest of us who don't want to, please don't let our taxpayer money go toward them. I say it's a simple solution.
All right. Marjorie Dannenfelser with the Susan B. Anthony List will have more on that in about a half hour. Live Action's investigative video forces Planned Parenthood to purge its websites of the term prenatal. For years, Planned Parenthood claimed it offers prenatal care to women. But the backlash from Live Action's investigation, which exposed Planned Parenthood's deception, was so egregious, the abortion corporation had to backtrack and do it fast. The battle over President Trump's immigration order continues today in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Justice Department lawyers and the Washington State Attorney General's office are sparring over a temporary restraining order that could be advanced to a preliminary injunction. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson.
I want to be crystal clear with your viewers. My job as Attorney General is to uphold the rule of law in this country, and I'll use every tool that I have as Attorney General to make sure that the president follows that Constitution.
A preliminary injunction would put an indefinite hold on the travel ban. There is also an effort underway to have the case reheard by a larger panel of judges. Brendan Kirby of LifeSet has more at the bottom of the hour here on Morning Glory. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE, makes arrests in Los Angeles and in other cities. The raids are called routine, but they could indicate a possible change in policy. The Obama administration did not deport otherwise law-abiding undocumented immigrants. New Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly indicates any undocumented immigrants in the U.S. could be deported. White House Senior Policy Advisor Stephen Miller discusses border security.
The executive order gives ICE officers the power to prevent crime before it happens by removing people who pose a threat to public safety and a threat to national security.
Immigration officials insist the raids were planned before President Trump took office. President Donald Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe spent the weekend at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort after North Korea fired a missile toward the Sea of Japan. Abe, speaking through a translator, called the missile launch intolerable and expressed confidence in Japan's alliance with the U.S.
During the summit meeting that I had with President Trump, he assured me that the United States will always with Japan 100%.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrives in Washington today for meetings with President Trump this week. Iran, Syria, and the peace process in the Middle East, in that order, will top the agenda. Netanyahu warns against expecting any major shift in Israeli policy on his two-state solution, saying he will continue to act responsibly and carefully to protect Israel. During Sunday's Angelus address, Pope Francis says Christ's Sermon on the Mount shows that he wanted to fulfill the law of Moses, not abolish it. He wants to help his listeners to achieve a reinterpretation of the Mosaic law. What was said in the Old Covenant was true, but it was not all. The Pope said Jesus came to fulfill and to enact definitively the law of God down to the last iota. Pope Francis appoints a delegate of the Holy See to look into the pastoral situation at Medjugorje, the site of alleged Marian apparitions in Bosnia-Herzegovina. The Vatican Secretariat of State wrote, "The mission has the aim of acquiring a deeper knowledge of the pastoral situation there, and above all, of the needs of the faithful who go there in pilgrimage, and on the basis of this, to suggest possible pastoral initiatives for the future." However, Greg Burke with the Holy See Press Office reiterates the pastoral and not doctrinal nature of the delegate's mission. Keith Cooper is a free man this morning. He spent 10 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He is the first person in Indiana history to be pardoned based on innocence. He was wrongfully convicted of a 1996 armed robbery and attempted murder in Elkhart, and he's grateful for his freedom.
I want to give thanks to God Almighty for sustaining me all throughout through this whole ordeal.
The Indiana Court of Appeals overturned his co-defendant's conviction in 2005. Cooper had a choice of being released with a felony record or facing a new trial. He chose to be released, going home to his family, who at times were homeless during his incarceration. Tempers flare at town hall meetings across the country as Republican lawmakers face resistance to the GOP agenda. Wisconsin Representative Jim Sensenberger met with constituents in Pewaukee, near Milwaukee, speaking up when he felt a threat was being made against him.
You know, we should be able to speak our minds and not be put in any type of personal jeopardy because we want to say what we need to say. That's all of you. That's me. The First Amendment applies to me, too.
Other Republican members of Congress say they have been threatened by protesters unhappy with the election results. That doesn't seem very American, does it?
No. Nope. Not at all.
All right. 9 minutes after the hour, as we turn to sports in NFL and NHL action on Sunday. There's no NFL action anymore. Alexandra Burroughs gets the goal to put Vancouver up 3-2 on Buffalo.
Horvat got tangled up on his way out, passes to center ice. Troy Stetcher will join the rush, joined by Burroughs and Hanson. Stetcher into Burroughs, shoots and scores! Snapped it through the glove side of Leonard, and the Canucks back up 3-2.
Vancouver wins it 4-2, and the Atlanta Braves pick up a potent bat for the upcoming baseball season. They get three-time All-Star second baseman Brandon Phillips from my Cincinnati Reds. He's been a Red all of his life, it seems. Phillips is now 35. He batted .291 with 11 home runs, 34 doubles, and 64 RBIs for the Reds last season. It's 10 after now as we take a look at your Monday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
Here in windy Washington is Elisa Murphy.
And more snow for the East Coast for your Monday. A high of 30 with snow in Buffalo for those tuned to Station of the Cross this morning. And in Moorhead, Minnesota, a high of 40 with sun for those tuned to the Presence Radio Network. And for those listening on St. Paul Radio in Augusta, Georgia, a mostly sunny day with temps in the mid-60s.
So a howling wind.
Howling wind.
Capital, yeah.
I wonder if it's going to be cold like that in Minnesota. I'm going to be out in Minnesota March 9th for Catholics at the Capitol. It's put on by the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and there are a lot of issues that they plan to talk about: family poverty relief, education choice, and assisted suicide. And then I noticed this gem in the press is that the Minneapolis city leaders have created an official group to advise the city council there and the park board on matters related to the transgender community. They're saying they need to have this council to make sure that trans bodies and trans lives are relevant and part of city planning. So I'm just trying to figure out, other than changing bathroom signs to show all gender or to try to, you know, further help people understand their way of thinking that male and female is just a social construct, I just don't see that being necessarily a good thing for the citizens of Minneapolis. Another reason to come out to Catholics at the Capitol so you can make your voices heard. Please join me out there.
Interesting. Yeah. Did you hear the speech from Chance the Rapper at the Grammys last night?
I heard a snippet of it. That
yeah,
you know,
he was accepting his Best New Artist Award. He said, "I want to thank God for my mother and my father who've supported me since I was young." And he ended saying, "Glory to be to God. I claim the victory in the name of the Lord. Let's go."
Yeah,
That was the very first speech for the Grammys, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because the Grammy producers were actually trying to incite some of the winners to go political in their speeches. So to have it start off, I mean, he said God about four or five times was quite a good thing.
Well, Adele did use some choice words when she accepted one of her.
Well, she messed
five
up.
Awards.
Like her mm-hmm. opening number to open the Grammys, she, you know, said something because she had to start over. It was messed up.
It was later on in the show. It wasn't
not
her first. Yeah,
okay.
It was the George Michael tribute.
Right,
she was
it was
doing.
A George Michael tribute. She had them. She did a do-over. A mulligan, is that what y'all call it in golf? She asked for a mulligan and used a little language there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. She won five awards, including Album of the Year, Song of the Year, and Record of the Year.
I mean, she can sing. Her voice is amazing. When she sang Hello, the first time I heard Hello, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. She's quite a talented lady.
Yeah, and David Bowie's no spring chicken, but he took on four awards?
Yeah, four awards.
Five
awards
Album,
early on.
Black Star really getting a lot of awards.
Well, they did it was David Bowie. Let's think of the performers who have gone on before us. So David Bowie passed on. He got some awards, and then I understand they did a tribute to Prince, and then Jay-Z and Beyonce's little girl, Blue Ivy, was dressed like Prince. But then, Elisa, you probably watched it. I heard that they tried to sing Sweet Caroline and completely didn't know the words, like all these celebrities got up
like
and
Neil
sang.
Diamond's
yes,
Sweet Caroline?
Neil's Diamond's.
Yes.
And just straight up didn't
was
know the words.
Was in the spring.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know all
I
the
love
words.
The song, Sweet Caroline.
That's right.
Dun, dun,
it's
dun.
An oldie but goodie for sure.
I mean, you know, I
was
didn't,
a kid when that came out.
I didn't know that song until I went to a party and everybody started singing it.
Got the bass part.
I was like, what is this song? Everybody was going crazy. It was like at a party. And I was like, oh, okay.
Monsignor, catch us up on your weekend.
Well, it was a beautiful weekend. I mean, lots of masses. And I had two weekend officiating two solemn high Latin masses, one of which had a beautiful Renaissance choir called Chantry here in D.C.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, it's a great gift of music to the church, all the different eras. And I love it, love it, love it. So,
how are those masses attended?
Well, I will say we had a lot going on in the city. So the solemn Latin mass in my own parish was about 60 or 70 people. I'd hoped for, you know, about double that. But there was a wedding earlier in the day and lots of good stuff. So too much of a good thing. But our normal extraordinary form masses are a pretty full church. I'd say about 400 or 500 go on to our main church. Yeah.
All right, Dr. Brian Kiechek is known as the Rosary Doctor, and he's going to talk about a new doll, not a statue, but a doll of St. John Paul II. Mm. He's going to share that information with us next here on Morning Glory on EWTN.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Janet Benkovic.
Did you know that I had been away from the Catholic faith for 10 years? I credit my grandmother's rosary for bringing me back home to our Holy Catholic Church. She had 13 grandchildren and prayed a rosary each day for each one of us. That's 13 rosaries a day. I know that it was Grandma's rosary that tilled the soil of my hardened heart to eventually bring me back to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Women of Grace with Janet Benkovic, Monday through Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
No Catholic radio station in your area? Perhaps God is calling you to get involved. Learn more about starting a Catholic radio station where you live. Contact Jack Williams, 205-795-5756, or jwilliams@ewtn.com today. As an EWTN media missionary, your task is to prayerfully take EWTN to your parish and community through the print and electronic media we provide. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory@ewtn.com.
Catholic Chatter with our producer, Lisa Murphy, will feature some of those emails or tweets that you send us with your feedback as Morning Glory continues from Guadalupe Studios on Capitol Hill. Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And Monsignor Charles Pope and our guest, the Rosary Doctor, Dr. Brian Kiechek. Brian, good morning. How are you?
How you doing, Brian?
Good. Let's talk about your new doll, a JP2 doll, and give us an idea of this is a part of a line of dolls, right?
Yeah, this is the third saint doll from Dolls from Heaven. The first was Saint Therese, the second was Saint Joan of Arc, and now we have Saint John Paul II the Great.
Awesome. So
why dolls?
Yeah.
Well, I have three daughters and a beautiful wife that all love dolls. And about 2 years ago, we were talking about the fact that there was no great Catholic saint doll companies out there that make beautiful dolls that children can play with and become inspired to become saints.
See, Brian, the dolls you have are so beautiful. I can't imagine letting my child play with it. I'm like, you can look at it. We're going to put it over here. Mm-hmm. It's so pretty. I mean, how are they made? So if they're made for children to play with them, how sturdy are they?
They're sturdy enough. They're designed to be, you know, obviously older children, not ones that are going to kind of sling them around their head or something like that.
Right, right.
Where does Lourdes fit into that?
Well, she might take some scissors to the doll's hair to try to, like, you know, give
might
it a new style.
Put it on a high shelf for
yeah,
a while.
So that has to be. Yeah, that's one of our things.
I think a lot of the parents that get them for the younger children kind of keep them on the side and say, oh, this is for you, you know, kind of thing, but not letting them go to town with them just yet.
Right.
You know, I have to say, Brian, as Monsignor Pope, I think it's a beautiful idea. Probably appeals more to girls, but, you know, there's also, as a young boy, loved to collect statues and things. And, you know, there's a lot of really good statues out there today, too, that are fairly inexpensive, made from this sort of kind of a resin, and some of them are beautifully done. But have you thought also about appealing to the young men in some way, or how?
Well, John Paul II, obviously, he's still a doll. We should call him an action figure. And
there you go.
Everything changes. Oh, my gosh, it's an action figure.
Right.
Yeah, give him some camo, you know.
He was definitely an action person too.
These dolls are big. I mean, in terms of the size, they look more like the American Girl dolls. Are they as expensive as the American Girl dolls?
They're a little bit less, but the same quality, and obviously Saint dolls, so they're going to inspire children in a lot greater ways.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, I want to also add, if I could, that this, of course, is so important that we recapture a Catholic culture in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of this was lost in the 60s, 70s, and so on, where, you know, all of that stuff went away. But this, I think, is a wonderful way to once again keep kids, you know, in the, what we might call our Catholic culture.
Yeah, you know, I think EWTN is a perfect example of kind of retaking the culture, and we need to take back everything. Grammys, obviously, yesterday we got a chance with Chance.
All right, yeah, we were talking about that.
We were talking about
the
those
shout
remarks.
Shout out to God. Beautiful.
It's certainly a real part of the Catholic culture is the family rosary, and I know that you are big on that. That's why you have the nickname the Rosary Doctor. As we approach the season of Lent, talk to us a little bit about the rosary and how that really can be a part of our Lenten practices.
Well, as John Paul II said, it's his favorite prayer. And I've been praying it for 18 years, and I can't help but recommend it to everyone else to change their life. Everybody has problems. Everybody has difficulties. And I know that if they pray the rosary, those difficulties, such as being in jail for 10 years, as you were talking about earlier, one of the guys, the only way to get through that is through prayer. Otherwise, you become dangerously depressed and possibly suicidal. But the prayer to God kept his faith, and 10 years later, you know, he gets out.
True. I'm looking at Monsignor's beautiful rosary as he's taking it out of his pocket. And I will say that I find that when you pray the rosary, it's also a good way to help you just focus and meditate on the particular mystery. As you say, those 10 prayers, there's a lot to be said for trying to unite your mind, and heart when you're praying the rosary. What advice would you have in that regard, Brian?
Well, I recommend little booklets. I actually, with John Paul, he comes with an accessory, which is a rosary booklet that we got from EWTN. It's a tiny, kind of like, almost a doll size one, but it is actually a children's size rosary booklet. And it comes, and it helps the children to pray the rosary and meditate and keep their eye on the mystery.
I'd like to share a little story about John Paul and the rosary. One of his Swiss guards, his name is fleeting me now. He's now a professor at the Catholic University of America. He talks about how when he was a 21-year-old kid, you know, as a Swiss guard, and he witnessed John Paul II praying the rosary, and he said that the Pope was transformed in that moment to where he was like, you know, in another level, and it just totally it just blew him away.
Yeah.
I bet to be able to see a saint pray like that was probably very powerful.
I know what also helps me to pray the rosary, because we all do struggle with distractions, especially in a lengthy prayer like that. But the gospel on a string has always been the way I try to think of the rosary, because it's a way to meditate on the gospels. And that's the main, I think, thing to be going on as we go through the different mysteries. It's a miraculous, just a wonderful gospel on a string, just a good memory device.
That's a good way of thinking of it. I haven't thought about it that way. Yeah.
Right,
it's
Dr.
a lot Brian lighter Kichuk, than a Bible.
The Rosary Doctor, and of course he and his family with the Dolls from Heaven. Give us an idea of where the best place to find you on the web is.
Go to dollsfromheaven.com, and you can find John Paul II there, St. Therese and St. Joan of Arc for your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, everybody.
All right, Dolls from Heaven, did you say .com?
That's correct.
Dollsfromheaven.com. Mm-hmm. The Rosary Doctor, Brian Kichuk. Thanks for being with us, Brian. God bless you. Talk to you soon again.
Brian.
All right. 24 after the hour, just ahead of Monsignor and the stages of sin. Let's take a look at some Catholic chatter with Elisa Murphy.
We heard from Audra moments ago, listening in Montana this morning, and she says she's very excited to buy this new doll. She has a nephew's birthday coming up this spring, so she's very excited about that. Again, that site, dollsfromheaven.com. We also did hear from Anthony, who didn't very much like our jokes on Friday. Just some laughing we did regarding Attorney General Sessions' Southern accent. Of course, with Gloria here, we love Southern charm.
And
we do
Father
embrace
too.
That. We just
Father
want you to know. know that we are very proud of pro-life Senator Jeff Sessions now being Attorney General.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I love his accent. It definitely Lau. Gets your attention.
The way he said Lau, I was like, okay.
Your attention. All right. I hope we have your attention this morning. We want to remind you that you can go to EWTNRC.com for all things Catholic. EWTNRC.com. That's our religious catalog. It's 25 after now, and we have some spiritual direction on the stages of sin with our dear Monsignor Charles Pope.
Yeah, I noticed that, of course, we're all looking at the same lectionary. The Pope also talked a great deal about this over the weekend. You know, we're pondering these passages from Genesis and Daily Mass, and they're so rich, so much going on there, so many layers. But we see that there are some stages of sin in the original sin. That there's, first of all, the lure of sin. And it says that Satan was cunning, and he seduces and suggestive and seductive language to Eve. And by the way, Adam was right there, but he said not a word. Shame on him. You know, but anyway, so there's a lure, and then we see that there's an engagement of the sin. She did see that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and good for wisdom. But you know, there are some things we're not supposed to know, and that already shows that it's tapping into that root of pride. So there's the lure, and then she begins to engage the thought. It begins to seem good to her, even though she knows it's forbidden. And then there comes not just the lure and the engagement, but then the conception of the sin. She took hold of the fruit. And then the actual birth of sin, she bites into the fruit. Now, one of the things to say, though, about original sin is not just the biting of or eating a piece of fruit. There are three, I think, most fundamental things that are evident in this sin. It's, first of all, a sin of pride, for Satan has said, you will be like gods. You will know. You will decide what is good and evil. And you will decide for yourself. No one will tell you what to do. So there's pride. And there's also a great sin of ingratitude. God had given them everything. And he only asked this one thing. So there's ingratitude. And then finally, there is a lack of trust. You know, it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that word knowledge in the Bible is always much more experiential than just intellectual knowing, but it's experiential knowing. And in effect, God is saying, look, I don't want you to experience evil. I want you to trust what I tell you. Trust me. I'll tell you what's good for you and what's evil. And you trust me, and your life will go well. But again, they insisted, you see, on abandoning their trust. They abandoned their trust in God, and they decided to find out for themselves. And they did experience the power of evil immediately. So a great, great tragic story, and yet it's repeated so often in all of our lives.
Amen. And it looks so good. Like you said, sin often looks good, and that's the trap.
Yeah,
because we got broken eyes.
Yeah.
We've got busted eyesight.
It seldom is like, oh, man, I don't want to get that.
Right,
dog.
Right.
It looks really good.
Right, it's the truth.
Sounds good. Might even feel good.
It sounds good, but it's not sound or good.
Very good point. Gloria Purvis, Monsignor Charles Pope, our producers Elisa Murphy. I'm Brian Patrick. Good to have you with us on Morning Glory. LifeSed's Brendan Kirby will join us to talk more about the legal challenge to the immigration ban. That's coming up on Morning Glory, along with all the news here on EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God and all his power and all his wonder, and he comes down to our level. He wanted to feel, how do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being, that's you and me and all of us, he did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Jerry Usher.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. Well, I would describe myself as a revert. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday through Saturday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Looking for a solid and dependable Catholic radio station in your area? One that's uplifting and authoritative? A trustworthy tool for the new evangelization? God may be calling you to a mission in Catholic radio. Find out how you can start a Catholic radio station where you live, powered by the truth of the church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming.
Contact me, Jack Williams, at 205-795-5756 or jwilliams@ewtn.com.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
Good morning, half past the hour. Morning Glory continues on your Monday, the 13th of February. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy is our producer and our godly counsel, the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Parish here in Washington, D.C. Monsignor Charles Pope, would you help us start the half hour with prayer, Monsignor?
Lord Jesus, you are the great morning star. You're the sun that rises in our hearts. Even now in Washington, just as the sun has come up over the horizon, and a beautiful morning, windy and cold, but beautiful. We ask you, Lord, to enliven us with the fresh breezes of your truth and the glory of your light. And Jesus, we put this prayer before your Father's throne in your name, you who are Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. We're just 10 minutes away from Morning Gloria Musings. Where are you going with that this morning, Gloria?
Purity.
We look forward to it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to thank Rosemary from Long Branch, New Jersey, who reminded me that Andreas Widmer is the Swiss guard that we talked about who watched St. John Paul II pray the rosary. Andreas is a professor at the Catholic University of America. Mm. Pro-lifers held weekend rallies across the country. They marched outside Planned Parenthood clinics Saturday, demanding the federal government cut funding to the nation's largest abortion provider. Monica Miller with Citizens for a Pro-Life Society helped organize the protest, and she marched in Detroit.
A lot of counter-protesters, those who support Planned Parenthood, also came out on the streets. So it was a very interesting mix, definitely, of those who support the sanctity of human life versus those who believe that it's okay to kill innocent unborn children.
There were more than 200 rallies in 45 states. Marjorie Dannenfelser, the president of the Susan B. Anthony List, will join Gloria in just a few minutes here on Morning Glory. 9 members of a cabinet are now confirmed, but the battle over President Trump's nominees continues this week. Treasury Secretary nominee Steve Mnuchin is expected to be confirmed, as well as David Shulkin as VA Secretary and the former wrestling executive Linda McMahon for Administrator of the Small Business Administration. However, fast food executive Andrew Puzder may face tougher Senate scrutiny as Trump's nominee to be the new Labor Secretary. The battle over President Trump's immigration order continues today in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Justice Department lawyers and the Washington State Attorney General's office continue to spar over a temporary restraining order that could become a preliminary injunction. Here is Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson.
I want to be crystal clear with your viewers. My job as Attorney General is to uphold the rule of law in this country, and I'll use every tool that I have as Attorney General to make sure that the president follows that Constitution.
Brendan Kirby is political reporter for LifeZet. Brendan, thanks for joining us on Morning Glory.
Great to be here.
What would be the difference between a preliminary injunction and what's in place now?
It's essentially the same thing, except that a preliminary injunction is longer lasting. A temporary restraining order is something a judge issues in an emergency situation to freeze things so that some change that couldn't be undone can't be undone. And then you go from that to the preliminary injunction, and that just keeps the status quo in place while the case gets litigated. Because if you'll remember in this case, all the fighting has just been about whether it was appropriate to stop enforcement of the order. There's been no ruling on the underlying legality of the order itself.
So the order is halted indefinitely now at this point. Now, I understand there is an effort underway on the part of the Justice Department for a rehearing.
Right. That's a standard step whenever you lose any kind of case. Usually the first step is you ask the the judge or the appeals court that made the ruling to rehear it. It's kind of a pro forma thing. Very rarely does that succeed because judges who issue the ruling don't usually just change their mind.
Do you have any thoughts on where this will eventually end up?
You know, there's a lot of options that Trump has. He can take this thing right to the Supreme Court. He can ask for the full panel of judges in the Ninth Circuit to review the three-judge panel. I think probably the likeliest at this point, according to hints from the Trump administration and Trump himself, is that he may withdraw this order and issue a new one that's more narrowly focused. Everyone at this point, including Trump, agrees that this ought not apply to legal permanent residents, for instance, and the Ninth Circuit ruling made reference to that. So I think he might come back with something that is narrowly drawn and affects people that have the least claim to some sort of right to be here, refugees, people who are in foreign countries who have never been here, who want to come here. It's going to be very hard for Washington and Minnesota to argue that there's a state interest in groups like that.
Brendan, I'm sorry, for Monsignor Pope, I wanted to just ask, because that leads to my question. It seemed like it already was a pretty narrow order, seven countries, it was temporary, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, would you want to just comment on this, that this is really just more of a symbolic thing? In other words, people took this as the first salvo in a huge immigration battle. Are people treating, even the judges treating this as a symbolic thing more than just a particular law?
Well, there obviously is a broader debate we're going to be having over immigration policy in general. This as it applies to the travel ban, it did apply to seven countries, but it was wide ranging in the sense that it didn't distinguish between, people who have immigrated to the United States and are legal residents and might want to travel back home. Or refugees, or someone who is living here on a student visa and wanted to come home. It's not clear to me that Trump ever meant that it would apply to legal residents, but the way the language was drafted, it did. So there's law that supports the president's right even to bar legal permanent residence. I think that was legally defensible, but much harder to claim that they should be treated the same as refugees. And his own administration offered guidance to the government saying don't enforce it against those people. But the Ninth Circuit essentially said, there's nothing to stop you from changing that guidance at any time. So, winning at the Supreme Court is going to be hard because it's divided 4-4, and there's a lot of rulings by Justice Kennedy that suggest it could even go 5-3 against Trump. So to avoid that political embarrassment, he might just come back with something that is easier to defend. And even if he were to lose in the lower courts, he'd be on much firmer ground in front of the Supreme Court.
It would seem a logical step. We'll see if they follow that direction. We appreciate you being with us this morning. Brendan Kirby, political reporter for LifeSet. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
During Sunday's Angelus address, Pope Francis says Christ's Sermon on the Mount shows that he wanted to fulfill the law of Moses, but not abolish it. He wants to help his listeners to achieve a reinterpretation of the Mosaic law. What was said in the Old Covenant was true, but it was not all. The Holy Father says Jesus came to fulfill and to enact definitively the law of God down to the last iota. The Pope also appointed a delegate of the Holy See to look into the pastoral situation at Medjugorje, the site of alleged Marian apparitions, in Bosnia-Herzegovina. The Vatican Secretariat of State wrote, the mission has the aim of acquiring a deeper knowledge of the pastoral situation there and, above all, of the needs of the faithful who go there in pilgrimage. Greg Burke, the Holy See press officer, reiterates, this is not a doctrinal step. The delegate's mission will be strictly pastoral. Mass evacuations underway about an hour north of Sacramento near the nation's tallest dam. Engineers fear the auxiliary spillway of the Oroville Dam could release floodwaters through Yuba, Butte, and Sutter counties in central and northern California. Heavy rain caused Oroville Lake to rise to critical levels, straining the spillway, and Red Cross volunteer Vern England hopes that people in the shelters help each other out. They band together.
Talk to other people, because other people are in the same situation they are. A lot of people are afraid, frightened, don't know what's going on, and it just helps to be a neighbor.
About 200,000 people under evacuation orders.
Wow, that's a lot.
In sports now at 21 till, Jordan Spieth closed with 2-under-70 to win the Pebble Beach Pro-Am by 4 shots over Kelly Kraft. He is the second youngest winner of the event. And in NHL action Sunday, Alexander Burrows gets the goal, putting Vancouver up 3-2 on Buffalo.
Horvat got tangled up on his way out, passes to center ice. Troy Stetcher will join the rush, joined by Burrows and Hansen. Stetcher into Burrows, shoots and scores! Snapped it through the glove side of Leonard, and the Canucks back up 3-2.
I just wanted to say Canucks.
They won. I was going to say, yeah. He was shouting.
Yeah, all right. Elisa has your forecast now at 20 till.
Morning glory weather.
More snow across the Northeast as we head into Monday. In Boston, a snowy day in the mid-30s for those tuning in on Station of the Cross this morning. And for those joining us on Redeemer Radio, temps reaching 45 with perfect sun in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And down south in Birmingham, a partly cloudy day with a high of 63 for our friends on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
It's 20 till, and we're seeking true purity today with Morning Gloria Musings.
You know, Mother's words when she ends, Mother's quote ends today, the things of the spirit must be earned through struggle. And one of the things, as I was praying in my office this morning, it's, you know, the theme of yearning to see God. And it says in Scripture, those with a pure heart will see God. And how much our culture is just completely set up against that. Even just watching the Grammys, I didn't get to watch it last night, but I saw some of the clips on Twitter this morning, and I was like, what kind of get-ups did these people wear that come out in public in such a state of undress, and that this could be broadcast on national television as if it's nothing? It's completely shocking to me. My grandmother, if she were alive, would be just throwing, you know, holy water. She ain't even Catholic. She'd be throwing holy water at the TV. Mm. But it just made me think, you know, how difficult it is when you have, you know, we already know demons will try to suggest things to us. Well, we have to remember they're also suggesting things to people who put on television programming and people who are performing. And when we see this state of undress, that's really an assault against our chastity. And then some young men, when they won an award, I think they were called 21 Pilots, they took off their tuxedo pants, Brian, and walked up on the stage to receive their Grammy Award. Now, why that wasn't booed out of there, or why that was allowed to happen, it just shows you how far our culture has fallen. And it's like, you can't really watch TV without some kind of assault against, you know, your desire for purity, some kind of visual assault, or maybe even it's in what they're playing in terms of music on the television. It's just everywhere. And one of the things that it made me think about is the Angelic Warfare Confraternity, and they have these beautiful prayers. And some of them, one of the petitions is for our social and cultural climate, that it may be purified of everything contrary to chastity, and that we may have the strength to resist the pressures of prevailing ideologies. And I often wonder if the Lord is going to quote us Hebrews 12:4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Ooh, how are we resisting this culture? Are we just turning over and just laying down with it? Or are we at least trying to pray and ask the Lord, help me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Give me the inclination to flee from things that will assault my chastity. Let me be immune to the suggestions of the demons, and let the good angels influence me in all that I do. And I'll close with this prayer that closed out the morning office. It says, Almighty Father, you have brought us to the light of a new day. Keep us safe the whole day from every sinful inclination. May all our thoughts, words, and actions aim at doing what is pleasing in your sight. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. And I want to pile on just a second, Gloria. Men, keep your pants on.
Yes.
Keep them on.
Yes.
I don't care if they're tux pants or blue jeans or whatever. Keep them on.
Keep them on.
This is true. Sagging is not cute.
I would just add to your reflections. Yesterday's gospel, the Lord is very clear and very firm with us. Now, he says, you know, again, this idea of fulfilling the law or filling it full, that the commandment against adultery isn't just against breaking a marriage vow. It's a call to purity of mind and heart. And the Lord says, look, take this seriously. He says, look, if your eye is your problem, pluck it out. Mm. If your hand's your problem, cut it off. Now, obviously, he's not speaking to literally do this, but what he is saying is, be serious about this. It is more serious to sin in these ways than to lose your hand or your eye or your foot. Now, we don't think like that. We make light of that in our culture. Well, you know, boys will be boys. And, you know, we don't think twice about people of living together outside of marriage. And again, I don't mean all of us, but it's a huge, we make light of this. And the Lord says, don't do that. Because he says, it's better to lose your hand or your foot than to have your whole body cast into hell.
Amen.
So these are sins that can indeed lead to people so far away from the kingdom that they end up in hell. And more it's been revealed to us through Our Lady and Sister Faustina as well that more souls are in hell over sins of impurity than any other sin. And it's just the most common sin that afflicts. And so again, the Lord says, take this seriously, more seriously than you do.
Amen.
Thank you, Monsignor and Gloria. And we're looking forward to having a friend with us next, Gloria.
Yeah, Marjorie Dannenfelser of the SBA List is going to join us for a Pro-Life Monday. We have a little extra time to ask Marjorie a lot of questions, so stay tuned right here, Morning Glory, next on EWTN Radio.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I went to church and just sat there and listened. I really didn't absorb anything. I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me. I had this sin that I carried in my heart for a long time, and I told myself for many, many years that the Lord wouldn't forgive me for this. When Father in the confessional says, "Your sins are forgiven," there truly is a feeling of weight lifted off. I don't care if it's two or three little sins that you're carrying, there's a feeling of I can breathe deeply again. I feel pure inside, and I'm ready to come to Mass. You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home. If you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there. When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory@ewtn.com.
Stay with EWTN Radio for Holy Mass right after Morning Glory in about 13 minutes at the top of the hour. Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Morning Glory on the 13th of February. Our godly counsel is Monsignor Charles Pope, our producer, Lisa Murphy. Good morning, I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Marjorie Dannenfelser is the president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Good morning, Marjorie.
Good morning, everybody.
Marjorie, I think the last time I saw you was as we were, I think, about to walk up on the stage during the March for Life when they were asking pro-life leaders to come out. You know, that surge of just, I had a surge of happiness and adrenaline and just like, yes, we're getting a chance to change the culture. And
it was quite a day.
Wasn't it wonderful? And, you know, I was happy to know Saturday, there were nationwide protests about Planned Parenthood. Could you talk a little bit about those rallies?
Yes, really building on that momentum and really the momentum since Election Day. One of the commitments that Trump has put out there and did all during the campaign was to defund and reallocate Planned Parenthood's funding. So yesterday, all across the country, hundreds and hundreds of Planned Parenthood saw protests of our friends all over the country saying just that, to redirect that money. Object to it being used, our money being spent to undergird what we truly don't believe in, especially given all of the horrible videos that we saw where the treatment of life was just abominable. So it's very exciting. 40 Days for Life and Pro-Life Action League, and we pulled these together. There's also one in London. Because the foreign funding for Planned Parenthood is also gone. That's already gone.
Yes.
As one of Trump's first acts.
Right, through the Mexico City policy, right? That executive order.
That's right.
Basically got rid of that.
That's right.
One of the things that I think we need to have people understand is we're not saying take money away from women altogether. We're saying allocate it to where there's real health care. And we know that Planned Parenthood basically, their main business is abortion, despite them trying to say otherwise. And I know one of the things that has come through after an investigative report, an investigative video, is it revealed Planned Parenthood, contrary to their claims, they do not offer any prenatal care.
I mean, I don't use words like this casually, but they truly lie.
Right.
I mean, and they do, and we should be careful when we say that, but they do lie about what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they certainly lie about the fact that if money is taken away from them, will lead to the no health care for women, because 20 federally qualified health clinics exist for every one Planned Parenthood across the country. They are more accessible, and they provide comprehensive women's health care for women and men across the country. So it really is not true, this you know, Chicken Little moment where they're saying the sky is falling. It simply isn't. But they really are concerned, because this vote is coming up very soon, and it really is the moment that everyone really should get a hold of their senator and let them know what you think about this.
Marjorie, you were recently part of a roundtable at the White House on these life issues. Can you give us a sense of the atmosphere in this Trump White House when it comes to this issue of the sanctity of human life?
Well, I have to say, I've been to the White House in 3 times in the last several weeks and hadn't been there in 8 years. It's a very different mood. And each time I walked in, I really felt like the whole pro-life movement was walking in, because we're there as a welcome guest.
Mm.
It's very hopeful, a very exciting moment. We're in complete alignment with the president and the vice president and his staff. It is a partnership that even in other White Houses, we really haven't experienced quite such a hopeful and detailed plan for what we have before us. That roundtable was about the first pro-life nominee that this president has put forward. So it was exciting in itself at that particular meeting about the direction of the court.
Marjorie, do we suspect that there are any particular legislators that are going to put up a fight against, you know, the defunding Planned Parenthood?
Yes, indeed. And the good news is we have a situation where we only need 51 votes to pass. We're not worried about a filibuster because of this. Because of the nature of this particular bill. But yes, I mean, we only have about a 2-vote margin, and it's a tricky one. So because of the way it can be manipulated and miscommunicated. So there are quite a number of legislators, mainly Democrats that are in states where Trump won by a landslide. And those guys and girls, women, are up, many of them up in 2018. For re-election, so it's a really good time to find those people. And if you look on our website, you'll see who those top priorities are.
And what's your web address?
It's sba-list.org. But if you just Google Susan B. Anthony List, it'll come right up.
Great. So this is how we'll join. Go to your website. We'll look at those people. If there's representatives from our states, we'll call them. I'm going to be calling and writing mine anyway, even though they're so tired of hearing from me and letting them know they need to defund Planned Parenthood and have that money go to places where all people, men and women, can get true health care. Nobody has to die. I mean, that's a simple message.
Yeah.
Marjorie, I'm very thankful
for too
much. I'm very glad about the work that you're doing and that you've been just, you know, steadfast. And especially I think about the last 8 years, what it must have been like for you. So I'm so glad that now you're getting a bit of a reward for all that hard work that you've been doing. And keep up the good work. We're counting on you and however we can help in making our country pro-life. You know, we're there for that. Thank you so much, Marjorie Dannenfelser. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
SBA-list.org is the website. You can check that out. It's 7 minutes till now as we check out Catholic Chatter with Elisa Murphy.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. Email the show directly, morningglory@EWTN.com. You can also check out our blog, EWTNMorningGlory.com, for all of the local news that we cover, national and international. We also did hear from Andrew this morning, who is very happy to hear Dr. Brian Kiechek on the airwaves. He's a big fan of The Rosary Doctor and Dolls from Heaven. And we also did hear from Maisie today. Ladies and gentlemen, it is World Radio Day. Don't know if you're familiar with the national recognition of just really how we can celebrate and keep radio alive, especially Catholic radio. It's a great day to donate to your affiliates. Maisie loves listening to Morning Glory and Call to Communion.
Oh.
All right. And Dr. Jim Curtis from Duluth, Georgia, says that ABC News reported that 41% of those deported under President Obama were not criminals, which is in contrast to what we said earlier, so I'm going to check into that and make sure that's cleared up. Thank Dr. Jim for listening. We appreciate that very much. Five till now as Monsignor takes a look at today's gospel.
Yeah, we have the gospel. It's a short one today. The Pharisees come forward. They demand a sign from Jesus, a sign from heaven. And Jesus sighs and it's from the depths of his heart and says, why does this generation seek a sign? No sign will be given. Mm. Now, in effect, they're setting up an impossible thing because they're saying, in effect, force us to believe in you. Now, I don't know if you hear the word force and belief. They don't really go together.
Right, right.
So, in effect, we don't want to have faith in you. We want absolute proof. Mm-hmm. And God asked us to walk by faith. And why is that? Well, you know, if God were just to ride down on a lightning bolt and say, I'm God, I'm in charge, look at me and be afraid, be very afraid, I'm in charge.
You should see Monsignor's face.
it wouldn't be faith and it wouldn't really be love. If you could terrorize somebody into obeying you, it's no longer love, it's really no longer faith. And so God is more gentle. And God says, now look, I'm going to give you signs, gentle signs that will engage your freedom. But I'm going to ask you to walk in trust. I will not overwhelm you. To force you to believe is no longer belief. So this is, I think, what's being taught here. So Jesus just sighs, you know, at this demand, you know, to have absolute proof and so on. Because, in effect, he's saying, so you want me to cancel my respect for your freedom and your call to love and force you to believe in me? I won't do it. I respect you. I love you too much. And I made you free, and I'm insisting that you freely engage and walk with me in trust. So it's
I've heard you sigh, and now I realize you're just imitating Jesus. Sigh from the depth of your spirit.
By the way, there's a beautiful statement from St. Augustine. More things are accomplished in prayer by sighs and tears than by many words.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Monsignor Charles Pope, our Monday Godly Council. Thanks for being with us, Monsignor, after a busy weekend. Glory, we get to do this again in the morning.
Yeah, Father Legg. I can't wait to bother him when he gets here tomorrow.
On St. Valentine's Day.
I know. I have to bring something red, I think.
Yes, Lisa Duffy will give us some dating and relationship advice on Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Mm. We hope that you can be with us then. We thank you for spending time with us on Morning Glory today and invite you to pray as we close the show. Glory be to the Father
and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Have a blessed Monday. We'll talk to you in the morning here on Morning Glory on EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.